So it's hard to believe. It's been 5 weeks of our journey through Epiphany and through the love languages. Now, we started off Epiphany with the realization that love really is all that you need, but we just need to learn to love one another better, to love one another as Christ loves us. And so we have traveled through the love languages because we're created by God in the image of God, and we have the same ways of giving and receiving love that God does. So far, we've covered words of affirmation, acts of service, quality time, and physical touch. And we're finishing today with gifts. Now, pardon the pun, but gifts have gotten a bad rap. People who love gifts are often associated with greed or materialism. I mean, we've all heard the song, Santa Baby, I Want a Yacht, and really that's not a lot. And we've all known someone that no matter what you give them, it's not quite good enough. It's not big enough, expensive enough, grand enough. It wasn't exactly what they registered for on their Amazon wish list. They're just never satisfied. But remember, we're talking about how the gifts, the languages of love, can be distorted by the evil one. Well, materialism is one way in which good gifts can be distorted. But we shouldn't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Gifts are a good and holy thing. God created everything and wants us to enjoy his creation. Now, there's a range for everyone of how important gifts are to you in your life. And everyone likes getting gifts. But I've seen both extremes in my family. My mother at Christmas every year would practically bury the Christmas tree in gifts for the family. And my dad, he was on the other end of the extreme. He would ask for things like socks, underwear. If he was feeling especially splurgy that year, he might ask for some pajamas or a new work shirt. Because for him, gifts should be useful, and if they got him out of having to go shopping, all the better. You see, my dad hates shopping. He says he doesn't mind buying things, but he hates going shopping. I have never learned the difference. Because I'm more like my mom than my dad. I love to give gifts, but there was a time in my life when I let the evil one steal that joy in my life. You see, my mother racked up a whole lot of credit card debt to bury that tree. And then gifts became a source of fighting and discomfort in my family. And then when my husband and I started out in our marriage, we were poor. He was working at West Oaks Mall as a security guard, and I was waiting tables at Cracker Barrel. We were getting by and making ends meet, but I felt guilty for asking for anything that wasn't needed or necessary. But there was one time of the year that I got back in touch with my love of gift giving. You see, I would set aside a little bit of money each month so that at Christmas time I could let loose my love for giving gifts. I love everything about it. I love to go and pick something out as I picture the person and envision how they might use it. And then I love to take it home and wrap it beautifully. I'm the one that annoyingly lines up all the stripes on the paper to make it look beautiful. And then I love to put it early under my tree so I can look at it and picture the face of the person whom I bought it for. And then I like getting gifts too. I am a master peeker. I like to do the shake, the pinch, maybe even a peek. My husband has learned to use a lot of tape because I just can't wait. The anticipation is part of the fun, but oftentimes I'm just so excited, I ruin the surprise. But there's one person whom I love getting gifts from most, and it's my daughter. You know, even though she's 5 years old and she's gonna pick out something I probably don't need, really didn't particularly want, and she's buying it with money that I gave her. I love getting gifts from her because it shows that pure joy, the love that she has for me. Look, Mom, And that's how God loves to get gifts from us. He's given us everything we have, but when we take some time to give something back, put a little money in the plate, or share what we have with one of the people he created, God is like a daddy bursting with pride and joy. He loves gifts. In fact, the season of Epiphany began with gifts to God. The three magi brought gifts for baby Jesus. Now, they weren't particularly useful gifts. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh are not exactly what you picture in terms of a baby shower. But they were gifts that honored the relationship, honored who Jesus was born to be. Gold for his kingdom, frankincense for the great high priest that he would become, and myrrh, an embalming oil, because Jesus was born to die. And those magi traveled a far distance to share their love for who Jesus was in their lives. The Transfiguration today shows us how all of human history is a gift. Jesus goes up on a mountain with his best friends, Peter, James, and John, and they meet Elijah, a prophet, long dead, and Moses, the father of the faith. And they gather together to reveal that all of human history, everything since creation, has been leading up to this moment, this man and this ministry, this sacrifice that is to come, to reconcile all that God created for good back into good and right relationship with him. And I hope that every Sunday here at Messiah feels like the Transfiguration. I hope that the light and love of God shines forth clearly into your lives and you're able to place yourself within God's salvation story. But just like those men, we can't stay here. We don't get to stay in the mountaintop. We have to go back into the world and carry on the mission. And sometimes we need a little help, something to carry with us. So that's when it's helpful to think about Elisha and Elijah. People kept telling Elisha, your master is going to be taken away from you. It was like this evil little voice saying, hey, I know you're trying to enjoy your last day with your master, but think about what's coming. Think about how hurt you're going to be, how hard it's going to be. And Elisha wisely says, I know, but shut up about it. You see, the evil one tries to take us into thinking about what hasn't happened yet, how we might feel, how we might cope, rather than focusing on what we have here and now with our master. Elisha asks Elijah for a double portion of his spirit, probably because there's a little hero worship going on. He knows he's supposed to carry on Elijah's ministry, and he's like, how in the world am I going to live into that example? Well, I'm going to need double what he had. And Elijah mercifully grants Elisha this wish, but he leaves him with something physical to remind him. When Elijah leaves his cloak behind, it's a very meaningful statement, but something that we might not get here. You see, a cloak to a prophet was the most important thing that they owned. They would never leave it behind, because a cloak was their blanket, their raincoat, their pillow, their bedroll. It was their source of warmth and comfort. And a prophet would never leave it behind unless they were going somewhere they wouldn't need it anymore. So Elisha knew in that moment that Elijah is really gone, not just taken off to some other faraway place, not just coming back in a while, but gone. But he left behind a symbol of the love and the relationship that they shared, that Elisha could carry with him. Because gifts, when they're their best, are a symbol of our relationship with one another. And so Elisha takes up that cloak, and he goes back to that same water, and he beats it, and it parts for him, just as it did for Elijah. And he knows that he can carry on the work. Now, it's our job to carry on Christ's work until the day he comes again. But like Elisha, we need a few gifts to take with us along the way. So a few weeks ago, I began asking our staff, if you could give Messiah Family a gift for Lent, what would it be? And we've gathered them all together for you as a gift to share. And as I open this gift, I want you to be thinking about what I pull out and see, which gift will you receive this Lent? Which gift might be for you? First, we have some ashes, a symbol of how God created and formed us from nothing really important, but to take a place to be a person in God's salvation story. It's a gift of love to remind us that we were created by God and for God, and one day again, we will be with God. You can receive this gift at noon or 7 p.m. this Wednesday, and I hope you'll accept it as a Valentine from God. Next, we have a box within a box from our children's minister, Miss Angela. And it's a box for hiding your alleluias away until Easter Day. This is the last day when we say alleluia. We're going to put them away for a while, so get it out. Alleluia!
Alleluia!
Do you know what alleluia means? It means to praise the Lord. Now, we are not telling our children not to praise the Lord for 40 days. It's not exactly the message we're trying to teach them. Rather, instead, every time that they have something to be thankful for, every time that they have a praise, we're going to ask them to put a coin in this box so that at the end of Lent, we'll have the accumulated praises of all of our children as a big, thankful offering. And we're going to use this money to give to toiletries and hygiene products to the women of Harbor House, women who've been abused, neglected, and abandoned. What better to praise the Lord that loved and created us all and knows us by name than to offer some of our sisters back their dignity? Next, we have a gift from Father Tom and I. This is for the married couples among us. We've been going through the love languages, learning about them, and this small group, the marriage you've always wanted, we'll be applying those love languages into your relationships. We're going to meet every Wednesday in Lent, beginning on the February 21st at 6 p.m., and we will provide childcare, and there'll be a simple supper, so that you can come and focus on what should be the greatest gift that you have in your life. And it's not just for people whose marriages are in trouble. It's for people whose marriages are good, but could be better, and people who have gotten better, but God has something great for them. And don't worry, it's not going to be overly touchy-feely or intrusive. Most of the work is going to be done by you in your relationship at home with your workbook, and we'll gather together once a week as accountability and to share some of our insights. Now, you can sign up for this small group on the little table out by where you're going to pick up our next gift. There is a $10 cost associated for the materials involved, so please do sign up so I know how many books to order. Well, next we have a gift for everyone, the gift of quality time with God. In your Lenten devotional, you can spend quality time every day this Lent with God. And you don't have to come up with what to say or what to pray. There's something in here to guide you in your time, and I pray you'll take one with you and spend that time with God who loves you so much. Now, if you're struggling with time, we've got another gift for you. 24/6. Now, some of you are going, what? Well, my small group that meets on Sundays in the afternoon at 4:30 will be studying time management God's way. One day off a week where you don't work. So the rest of the week, you are energized, so that you can spend your time productively and faithfully in what God has called you to do 6 days of the week, so that you can rest with God on the seventh. So that's going to be Sundays at 4:30. All right. Janie, really? All right, our youth minister apparently is giving us a trip to Jamaica. I know I said good gifts, but I don't really think we can afford this. Oh, okay, our youth are going on a mission trip this summer to Jamaica. They'll be going the first week in July, and you have the opportunity to support a missionary in the most delicious way possible. Come and eat some pancakes Tuesday night, and all that they raise will be going towards this mission trip. But we're also asking you to spend your Lent in prayer for this trip. Pray for those adults who are called to go, who have a special love for Jamaica. And we're not just talking about a love for the beach, but a love for service. Pray that God will raise up the leaders that we need and the youth that can go and love and serve the Lord. I don't know if I can top that. That's pretty good. We are asking for all of you to not just pray, but give a gift towards the mission fund as you feel led in your prayers, because it is an international mission trip. It'll be a little more expensive than years past, but we really want to show the love of God to all the world. That's in our mission statement, and so help us do that this Lent. I hope that you have enjoyed this series on the love languages. I hope you know better how much God loves you deeply, that he gave the ultimate gift, his son, to die on a cross so that we could spend eternity with him.